It's been really great this morning hearing God speak to us, and I just want to start with praying. God, we thank you that you're a God who speaks. You speak to us today, you speak to our hearts, you speak to us as a group of people, as a flock, and you speak to us as individuals, and we just want to say we're here listening to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't know if you've been called compared to any other animals in your life. Maybe I shouldn't ask. But this perhaps is not the most complimentary of pictures of the church, being called a bunch of sheep. I don't know how you feel about being called a flock of sheep this morning, but let's not dress it up. Sheep can be pretty helpless, prone to wander, difficult to herd and get moving in the same direction, and a bit vulnerable. I haven't said stupid, because I'm not sure that that is actually true, but you can make up your own mind. And that's not me, I'm not sheepist, that's not me imposing a negative picture of sheep on the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, we read, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." And the Message translation puts it like this: we're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. I've got somehow into the habit of watching videos on it comes up everywhere, so it must be algorithms, whatever they are, telling it that I like watching videos of animals that have been rescued. I'm a sucker for it, and sometimes I'll get really choked up watching it, and I'm like, I can't watch any more. Please do not send me any more videos of rescue animals. It's quite often dogs, and they'll quite often show the dog in a, you know, by the side of a street, and it's really emaciated, and it needs a clean, and it's been abandoned. It's really sad. And in these videos, it's always like someone comes along and takes that animal into its heart and cleans it up, and it often takes quite a lot of time for that animal to start trusting the human because it's been through a lot in the past. But then it's all about the difference then when it's taken into a home or taken into a family. There was even one with a little pig that had been rescued but trotted around the home, and there was one about a goat that had been rescued and then thought it was a dog, so it joined in with the other dogs in the family. I'm a real sucker for them, and it sometimes just makes my heart really feel like it's going to explode just watching these animals that are so vulnerable and in such a difficult and destitute position being rescued. And this passage really shows God's heart for us. We're all like rescue animals. We're all like helpless sheep. We've all gone astray. We've all got lost. And God's heart is just exploding with love for us. He wants to place us in a flock, in a family, to clean us up, to tend our wounds, to heal us, to help us. And his heart just bursts with love and longing for us. So, you might not like being called sheep, but the good news is that we have a good shepherd. So as a flock, as a church, there's several things that are true of us. We're protected, we're precious, we're provided for, and we're guided. And I'm just going to go through them quite quickly. So just listen in your heart, sense if God is really speaking to you about one of them. And then you can go and look at it in more detail. First of all, we're protected. God, Jesus, uses a very common picture here, doesn't he, for the people of the day. It's not so common for us to see shepherds protecting their sheep against wolves, but in that day, it would have been a bit more common. And shepherds would have known what a thankless and grueling job it is, how you have to be constantly vigilant, making sure all of the sheep that you've been entrusted with are still there and are safe and fed. There's quite a lot of threat in the passage, isn't there? There's thieves, there's robbers, and there's wolves. And a hired hand, we're told, wouldn't necessarily step between a wolf and a flock of sheep. That's way more than their job's worth. But if you're the shepherd who owns that flock of sheep, they're yours. They're your livelihood. They know you, and you know them. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What a vivid picture of how Jesus steps into harm's way, literally taking the force of the blow to protect his sheep. You might have seen when we were children growing up, or maybe even more recently, sort of pictures of Jesus as a shepherd wearing white flowing robes with a pristine sheep, just placid, calm in his arms, everything light and bright and wonderful and serene. I'd like to see, after reading this passage and thinking about it a bit, images of the shepherd, muddy, grotty, tired, with a sheep that was like bloodied and messy and mucky, and the shepherd actually like covered in his own blood from protecting this sheep. That's more the image that we're given here. A shepherd who puts himself, literally puts his body between us and everything that would destroy us. The sin, the evil, and death itself. He puts himself in the way and absorbs all of that to protect us and keep us safe. So we're protected. We're also precious, and that's why we're protected. The Bible, this passage, compares. The hired hand doesn't really care, but do you hear the inference? The good shepherd does. He cares so much, he'll put himself in harm's way. And he calls his own sheep by name. I heard recently of one of these rescue stories, which was a bit closer to home. So someone I know of keeps sheep in New Zealand, and one of their sheep was rejected by its mum. And so the family took pity on it and took it into their own home. They named it, and it sleeps on the daughter's bed. I really want a sheep now. This sheep is precious, named, loved, and provided for. That takes us on to the next point. We're provided for. It says in verse 9 to 10, they'll come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. As church, as a flock, and as individual sheep, we're provided for, as we've heard already this morning from Sarah. It was the shepherd's responsibility to lead the flock to where there is pasture. I think it's sometimes easy, both as individuals, I'm talking to myself here as well, and as a church, to look at what we don't have, isn't it? To focus on what we don't have. But God says we have all we need. That is one of God's promises that we can rest on. We have all we need. He has promised to provide us with every good thing that we need. So as a flock, maybe, and as individuals, maybe we need to practice the art of thanking God. Thanking God. Thank you, God, that you give us everything we need at just the right time. And if we don't have something as individuals or as a church, maybe, well, definitely, we don't need it at this moment in time. God provides what we need, and we can hold on to that promise. So are we looking to God, trusting that God will guide us in good places and provide for us? He knows what's best for us as individual sheep and for us as a flock. We're precious to him, so he promises to provide for us. We're guided. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I have my own little rescue, so I don't need another rescue animal because I've got my own little rescue animal, Daisy, little Jack Russell Terrier. And I've learnt a bit about leading and following from Daisy. because we like to go for runs in Bishy Woods or Stoke Park Woods, some of you might call it Bishy Woods, with Daisy. And sometimes I choose the route and I let her off the lead and she follows me. She's quite good. Sometimes she decides the way she wants to go. She's like, no, I don't want to go down that path. Normally, if it's a bit stony, she'd rather go down the dirt path, which is a bit nicer for her paws. And sometimes it's fine because I know Bishy Woods, we can explore different paths. I know I'm going to get her home in the end and get myself home in the end and in the bath. She's not so keen on that bit. But sometimes she can choose the route because I know overall where I'm going to lead her to. And as a flock, God's promise is that God will lead his church. God will lead his flock. So sometimes perhaps what we decide to do as a church, what path we choose to take, isn't as important as our motivation. With Daisy, it doesn't matter what path we take, but it does matter that we stick together. It does matter that we stick together. And with God as our leader, as our shepherd, guiding us, sometimes it doesn't matter what exact path we take, but the important thing is that shepherd and flock stick together. We've got braver taking different paths, and I actually did take us down a bit of a dodgy route. God doesn't do that with us, but I do with my dog. And we ended up kind of at a dead end because there were electric fences all the way around. So I didn't want to go all the way back, so I took a different route along a path. But there was a gate, and the only way I could think of to get Daisy through this gate was to sort of feed her through. So I picked her up, and she struggled a little bit, and then I was like, no, no, stay still, because I'll drop you. And I sort of fed her through, so she was upside down, the legs in the air, being fed through this tight gap between, and sort of plonked out the other side, and then I climbed over. And sometimes, as a church and as individuals, it can feel a bit like that for us when we're being guided. We're sheep, so we don't always know what's going on. But Daisy was safe, and we got her to where she needed to be, and myself to where I needed to be. There's a theologian called Walter Brueggemann, and he talks about this experience of feeling disorientated as a Christian and in the Christian life. He says it's quite common in the Christian life, in the Christian journey, we can feel orientated, then disorientated, and then reorientated, which I'm sure is what Daisy experienced. She was quite happy. Oh, she's upside down being fed through a gate, and then she's in a different place, back on her feet again. Sometimes the most important thing we can do is stay still and be malleable in our leader, shepherd's hands, isn't it? So maybe you're feeling a bit disorientated. Maybe you're fairly new to the Christian faith and you sort of, everything was going great and then some questions have come up and some doubts and you're thinking, oh, this isn't what I signed up for. I didn't think it was going to be like this. But I just want to reassure you today, that's normal. You need to get used to that because that quite often happens in the Christian faith. We sort of think we've got it sorted and we've got one bit sorted and then something else, God does something else and it can be a bit confusing for a bit. Or maybe that's just the circumstances that are happening around us at the moment have you feeling a bit disorientated. God's got us. God is a good shepherd and we can trust him. And the last one that I've not mentioned that I just want to highlight as a flock is that we're incomplete. God says, Jesus says, there are others of this flock that I need to bring in. So I'll just leave that with us. We're not complete. We're not all here. We're not all in the flock. And God has a heart still for those people who haven't experienced being part of his flock yet. A significant moment in my relationship with God came one day when I was thinking about the verse, perfect love casts out all fear. And I had a decision to make. And that verse came to me and I thought, if I really believed that verse beyond a shadow of a doubt, what would my decision be? If I really believed that God loved me no matter what, and that was strong enough to push out all the fear I was feeling, what would my decision be? And I felt then I was able to make the decision based on God's love instead of God's fear. So sometimes I do that with other verses. I think, what would my life look like if I really believed this? So I want to ask that of all of us this morning. What would our life as individuals and as a church look like if we really believed that Jesus is our good shepherd, that he protects us, that we are precious to him, that he guides us? What was the other one? Testing myself here. And that he loves people outside of the flock and that he provides for us. If we really believed those things, how would our lives look? How would we spend our time? What would our attitude be? What would our behaviour be like at work, at home, at the petrol pumps? When we hear of Afghani refugees in our local community, when our job's insecure, when we're looking for schools for our children to go to, when our colleagues are being difficult, when we don't know if we can pay rent the next month. And I'm not minimising any of that, but how would our lives look if we really, truly believed that God is a good shepherd? And what about as a flock of sheep? How would our church life look when we're looking at how we spend our money, when we're wondering about what to do about a certain activity, in our search for a senior minister, at church meetings, talking to other people, praying? How would our family, church family life feel and look if we really truly believed that God, the Good Shepherd, provides just what we need at just the right time? Well, the Bible reading we heard from Luke gives us a little bit of an idea. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And it goes on to talk about selling your possessions and giving to the poor, providing purses for yourselves that won't wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Do not be afraid. It brings us back. God is really saying to us, do not be afraid, isn't he? If we really believed in this good shepherd, we wouldn't be afraid. We'd live free, full lives, life to the full. And I just want to speak this verse over us from Psalm chapter 78. Well, Psalm 78, verse 52 and 53. He brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely, so they were unafraid. Amen.